This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Parshas Bo. So, three things on the schedule for this evening. The first is something we mentioned some years ago in relation to a different shir. But after that shir, a young man who I have the privilege of teaching, his name is Moshe Freilich. It's a shout out to you, Moshe. He made a very interesting ha'ara, which relates to this week's parsha. So let's just remind ourselves what we said, and we'll see how it fits in very, very nicely to this week's parsha. Parshas Nosai. I know it's Parshas Bo this week, but in Parshas Nosai, the pasuk says, "Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemer, daber b'nei Yisrael v'amartu aleihem ish o yisho ki yafli lindor nede nozir lahazir Hashem." That's the beginning there in Parshas Nosai. And Rashi says that in the beginning of the Parsha of Nozir, it's juxtaposed to the Parsha of Sota. So Rashi says, Loma nismecha Parshas Nozir leParshas Sota. Why the juxtaposition of Nozir and Sota? Says Rashi, famously from the Gemara, Loma lecha, to teach you, Shekol haroye Sota bekilkula yazir atzma minayayin. Anyone who sees the Sota, the woman who's been warned not to seclude herself with a certain person, and she goes against that warning, and she's miyachid with him, she secludes herself with him, and then she has to go through the whole process of being a sota. Anyone who sees the whole procedure, the disgrace of the sota, yazir atzma minayayin, will inevitably want to make a nazirus, a neder, to abstain from wine, shehu mevi l'idei niyuf, because by drinking wine his guard is down, and therefore it could bring niyuf, he could commit adultery. The Baalei Musa asked the following question. If you were in the Beis HaMikdash, and you see the whole ceremony of the sota, that itself is surely warning enough. You don't need to start making a nazirus against drinking wine, which may cause a sort of a loosening of boundaries or whatever. Why isn't the actual watching of the sota deterrent enough? Certainly, if she goes through and Nebuch, you see her quite graphic decline and death. So the Rabbi Roberts, this is we quoted in Parsha Shir some years ago. He quoted Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch, the Telzer Rosh Hashiva, who says the following amazing insight. Sometimes when you're exposed to something which is unthinkable, that puts it on the radar, and the unthinkable becomes thinkable. And therefore, the very witnessing of the Sota somehow registers psychologically in your mind that this is now in the realm of the possible. And he gives other examples. This famous Rashi in Parshas Kiseitse, the first time we meet Amalek. Parshas next week in Parshas Beshalach, we're going to deal with Amalek. But in Parshas Kiseitse, the pasuk says, "Asher karcha baderech." What's lashon of karcha? So one pshat in Rashi is lashon mikra. So they chanced upon them, which is the philosophy of Amalek. It's all happenstance, chance, etc. Dova acher lashon kair v'chayim. Kair is cold. V'chayim and heat, i.e., asher karcha baderech means tinencha v'fshircha mirisisoscha. They cooled you down from your boiling point. What does that mean? Shehayu kol ha'umus yireim lilochim b'bochem. Everyone was petrified of the Jewish people. They came out of Mitzrayim. They were the invincibles. They had brought the superpower of Mitzrayim to their knees. No one's going to start up with Klal Yisrael apart from Amalek. This nation, Amalek, came and started up with Klal Yisrael. And it sort of opened up the way for everyone else. Moshel Ambati, famously Rashi brings the Moshel to a bath, Reisachas, a boiling hot bath. She'ein Kolberi Yechel Lerit Besoicha. It's so boiling hot, no one would entertain going inside it. Bo Ben Bliyal Echod, one disgraceful person comes, kofatz v'yorad l'seicha, and he jumps into this boiling hot bath. Afa pisha nichve, hikre oisol b'fnei achirim. He's cooled it down for the next guy. So even though he may have witnessed, this guy is burnt, he's hurt himself, he's screaming in agony, but yet he's cooled it down for the next one. Well, so too Amalek. They started up with Klal Yisrael through pure anti-Semitism, and they've taken away the sheen of sort of impregnability, of invincibility of Klal Yisrael. Which basically, says Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch, is another example of where the unthinkable becomes thinkable. Another example he brings is also in Parshas Ki Tsetse, a very interesting example. The pasuk says, "V'hoya v'chiyia be'ish chet mishpat moves v'humos v'solisa oisay aleitz." Rechman Hinsan, you see someone who's committed a capital offense, so he's going to be hung, and you kill him. His chayiv misa is based in, and then you've got to hang the body. It's sort of that's gzeres hakosov, but it's a sign for people. This is what happens if your chayiv misa is based in. And the pasuk then says, "Lo solin nivlos aloitz." You can't leave this body, this corpse, overnight. Ki kover tikberenu by yom ahu. You've got to bury him that day. So it's a short-term sort of public demonstration. Says Rabbi Yosef Lev Bloch, if it's there to teach a lesson, and the person, you know, let's say he was killed in the afternoon, so he's there hanging for an hour or 2 hours. What sort of, you know, keep him there for a day or two if it's meant to teach a lesson? Why is there this insistence that you've got to bury him that day? Says Rabbi Yosef Lev Bloch, the same idea. If you see someone who is publicly known to have broken Shabbos or done anything where his chayiv misa is based in, suddenly, on one hand, it's a deterrent, but on the other hand, it's making the unthinkable thinkable. And that's the danger. So there's a balance. On one hand, I want it to be a deterrent. On the other hand, I don't want it to be too much of an exposure, because that could be negative. And that, you see, it answers the famous question regarding the Ir Miklot. You know, where the Ir Miklot, the pasuk says that you've got to put up signs. And, you know, there's Miklot written, and then the guy who killed Beshogeg will know exactly where to go. There'll be signs. Miklot that way, Miklot, there are six Ari Miklot in total. Three Be'ev Ayar, then three Neretz Shah, there'll be signs to it. Where are the signs for being Oli L'Regel? Where are the signs to go for the Bikurim? Yerushalayim that way, the Beis HaMikdash that way? The answer is, because we don't want you to publicize the fact that you killed Beshogeg. So we want you just to get there straight away. Don't start asking for directions. Why do you need to get to the Ir Miklot? And that way, just go. So we'll signpost the way. But when it comes to bringing Bikurim, when it comes to being Oli L'Regel, the more you ask, the better. That's a positive influence. It's exactly the same. And then we find an example of this, all of the above, in this week's parasha. And this is the insight that Moshe Freilich told me. He heard it from my nephew, Gabi Luckner, who made the following insight. So this is all good, golden green Torah. This is what he said. Let's take a look at the psukim. We're four boxes in. If you're listening online, jdogolker@gmail.com, I'll send you the handout. Vayoma Hashem al Moshe boyel pari. That's the beginning of the parasha. Vayovay Moshe va'aron el pari. Vayomer elav koyamar Hashem elokei ha'ivrim ad mosa me'anta la'anos miponai. How long are you going to sort of hold off from humbling yourself in front of me? Shalach ami v'ya'avduni. So Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, in this week's parasha, this is the beginning of the last of the three makas. The makas number 8, 9, and 10. And Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron suddenly speak very firmly to Paro. Ad mosa me'anta la'anos miponai. How long are you going to hold off from humbling yourself? You're so arrogant. Shalach ami v'ya'avduni. There's going to be a plague of arbe, of locusts, etc., etc. He spoke very strongly to Paro. And he gives all the warning of what the arbe is going to do. Now, then the pasuk says, they turn away and they walk away from Paro. Pasuk Zion. All of a sudden, the Avodim of Paro start speaking up. They start speaking up and saying, Paro, like, enough already. Just let them go already. Mitzrayim is being lost. Like, enough already. And Paro listens. He can see that there's like a civil war. There's an internal rebellion. That the Avodim are already turning on Paro and saying enough already. So he calls them back. Why now? Why now? It's sort of in this dialogue, in just before the eighth makkah, to the Avodim stand up to Paro. So says Gabi Luckner, very beautiful. He says, because all of a sudden, they were exposed to very harsh words from Moshe and Aaron to Paro. And all of a sudden, their deity, their Paro, somebody standing up to them, to him. And when they see someone, Moshe and Aaron, stand up to Paro, the unthinkable in their eyes becomes thinkable. The ability to sort of challenge Paro is now in the realm of the possible. And because they speak very harshly to Paro, that gives them the sort of the possibility of also speaking harshly to Paro. That was his ha'ara. So I think that fits in very nicely. It's a very beautiful insight. Okay, let's move on to the main theme. Yes.
The hanging. The seamless sota.
Yeah, the kilkula.
But I don't really get that argument, because even if you're put off because of seeing the sota, if you get drunk, you're not conscious anymore. You lose your inhibition. So you stop.
What?
So the problem is, if you get drunk, then you're not as horrified anymore. You lose your inhibitions. That's why.
And therefore, yazir asma min ayayin. And therefore, a person who sees the sota go through this whole process is so disgusted by it, he says, I don't have anything ever to possibly do with that. He'll become a nazir, which means he'll refrain from drinking wine, which means he's put a boundary in place so that he will never ever come to a position of becoming involved in a sota or anything like that. The question is, why does he need to do that? The very seeing it is surely is deterrent enough.
Only if he's not drunk.
Why?
If he's drunk, he won't be.
Drunk means this guard, he's not sort of totally lost his capacity. He means his guard is down, his boundaries are sort of lowered a little bit, that's all. And the point is that a person who sees the sota bekilkula, he'll want to put some sort of boundaries up. So what should he do? He'll become a nazir, hence the juxtaposition of sota and nazir. The question is, he's the last person who needs to become a nazir. The person who hasn't seen it should become a nazir. He has got his own deterrent. What's his deterrent? His memory of witnessing what he's witnessed. Seeing the sota bekilkula.
I don't get that, because you don't have that awareness if you're drunk. If you're sober, you've got that shock. But if you're drunk...
It's not saying he's drunk. It's saying that he saw what happened, and the idea of him getting involved, it's not that him seeing the sota will occur to him once he's already drunk. He's saying one of the reasons you could have ended up being a sota is because one of the parties involved were drunk. And therefore, because being drunk can lead to someone becoming a sota, he is so scared of what he saw with her punishment that he doesn't even want to think about something that could lead towards her. I think so. He's not drunk when he's looking at the sota, that's what you're saying.
Okay, okay. All right, let's press on. There's one, the main theme of what I want to speak about this evening is an amazing chinuch. It's a very famous chinuch because a big chunk of this week's parsha deals with the Korban Pesach. In the chinuch itself is an amazing sefer. It's a bar mitzvah present for a son. We don't know who wrote the sefer chinuch. He's anonymous. He writes at the beginning, Ish Levi me Barcelona. Which is like saying, like Moshe from Bar Park, right? It's the 13th century, the age of sort of Spanish Jewry, and he wrote this as a gift for his son. And what does he do in Sefer HaChinuch? He goes through and lists what the 613 commandments are. He says to his son, you're becoming Bar Mitzvah, let me tell you what this is all about. He lists the 613 mitzvahs, he explains the details of them, and he suggests reasons for them. Mishar Sheha Mitzvah, we don't know definitively this is the reason, but we can conjecture this is the mitzvah, Mishar Sheha Mitzvah. Now, the Pasuk says, take a look at the bottom in paragraph 2, Vayoma Hashem el Moshe v'Aaron zois chukas ha-Pesach kol ben nechor lo yechol boi. This is the rules of the Korban Pesach, a ben nechor, which means a non-Jewish person, or someone who doesn't keep mitzvahs even, lo yechol boi, which is sort of a mumar. V'chol eved ish miknas kesef o malto osei oz yechol boi. But once you've had milah, then you're able to partake of the Korban Pesach. Toshav v'socher lo yechol boi, b'bayis echod yechol. There are various rules about the Korban Pesach. V'etzem lo yishpru boi. And one famous rule is that you cannot break the bones of the Korban Pesach. Kol adas Yisrael yasu osei. This is applying to all of the Jewish people. Now this halacha of etzem lo yishpru boi is going to be the topic of the chinuch. This is in Mitzvah Tezayin, in Mitzvah number 16. Shelo lishbar etzem min haPesach. So turn over the page and let's go through this very, very beautiful chinuch. Says the chinuch, Shelo lishbar etzem mikol atzmas haPesach shneema ve'etzem nisishbru boi. Mishar she'a mitzvah, of the roots of the mitzvah. What's it about? What is the tam haMitzvah? Perhaps, says the chinuch, lizkar nisei Mitzrayim. To remember the miracles of Egypt, k'mishar kasav nubacheres, like I've written in relation to the other aspects of the Korban Pesach. V'gam, and also, she'ein kovod libnei melachim, it is not honorable for sons of kings, us, we're sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're princes, the yotzei eretz, legarer ha'atzomos v'leshivras, v'leshabram k'klovim, for us to take the bones and to eat them ravenously, and to break the bones like dogs, lo yo'us la'asos kocha, ki'im la'aniyei ha'mar evim. That's not a behavior which is appropriate for Bnei Melachim. That's a behavior which is appropriate for impoverished, hungry, ravenous people. Valkein, b'schilas boyanu liyo sugulas kol ha'amim, when we're at the very beginning of our special status of the Klal Yisrael, mamleches kohanim va'am kodesh, of a princely kingdom and a holy nation, u'b'chol shana v'shana ba'is ha'zman, and therefore every year, when we sort of have the anniversary of our birth as a nation, royu lanu lasos ma'asim, it's appropriate for us to behave in a way hamarim bonu, which demonstrate to ourselves hamale hagdula she'oleinu, the elevated status which we have she'oleinu lo ba'is hashor, that we elevated to at that point, u'mitoich ha'maase v'hadimyon she'anachnu esim, and through that sort of actions that we do, nikva ben hashenu hadover la'olam, it will sort of be embedded in our very souls. It will be embedded in the DNA of the Jewish people. Now listen to this. Va'atza b'ni, imbina shumato zos. If you listen carefully to this, va'hate oznachosh man, bend your ear to listen. Alamedcha lahayil b'teiro mitzvahs. I'm going to teach you a critical lesson in Torah mitzvahs. Da. Key. And this is the famous catchphrase of the mitzvah, which is, you know, everyone knows it by. Ki ha'adam nifal kafi pu'loisov. A person is conditioned according to the way he behaves. V'libay v'chol machshavoisay tomid acha maisov. The way you think, the way you act, is really dependent on your behavior. Shu'oise bohem. Im tov im ra, for the good or for the bad. V'afidu rosh ha'gomer, even you have a wicked person, bilvovoy. He's thinking evil intent. If he actually engages in Torah and mitzvahs, even not altruistically, he will turn to the good. And by acting in this way, he will subdue his yetzara. Because after action does the heart follow. Now this is a fascinating insight. Adam nifal kafi pu'loisov, which means that how you behave is how you become. That's a fascinating in psychology, you know, there are different ways of dealing with this sort of thing. There's Freud, which you go back to the roots, or is it cognitive behavior theory, which means that how you're going to act is actually going to affect the other way around. So, for example, you have a boy sitting in the base of Medrash who's lethargic, he's tired, whatever it may be. And then you say to him, you know, you want to get into it a little bit? Start shuckling, you know, start pumping your fist, because the outer motions will sort of, will charge the neshama, will charge the batteries inside. Adam nifal lefi kapalosov. And therefore you have, says the chinuch, a person who is ravenously eating this Korban Pesach, that's not how you behave. That's how an impoverished, ravenous person eats. We're Bnei Melachim. There's a certain dignity with how you go about things. And therefore, says the Chinuch, the idea of Etzem Lesish Bruboi is that we have to behave at the inception of our nationhood like Bnei Melachim. Because that would instill within us a certain regal, noble behavior. Let's carry on the Chinuch. V'afidu im yeh odem tzadik gomor. Even if a person, it can work the other way around as well. A person can be a tzaddik gomor. V'levovo yosha v'tomim is a pure and straight heart. Chofetz b'Torah mitzvahs, his desire is Torah mitzvahs. Im ula yasuk tomid b'varim shal doifi. if he gets involved in nonsense, im kol asokei tomid kol hayoyim ba'isa umnus, if he's involved in matters which yoshev lizman mizman mitzidkas dibel yis rosh gamor, he gets involved in nonsense or negative behavior, then slowly he'll slip down to become a rosh gamor. Because what you're going to become is depends on how you behave. Brings a great proof for this. The Gemara says in Makkas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us 613 mitzvahs. Why so many? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us 10, 15, 20? Why 613? Because it's a 24/7 job. We're totally preoccupied with being involved in mitzvahs. Because by being involved constantly in Torah and in mitzvahs, that conditions us to good behavior and therefore ultimately to be zoiche to chayei olam haba. Lachein ato, therefore, he says, penultimate paragraph. Be very careful in your choice of profession and pursuits. Because you will be drawn to them, and you won't draw them to you. Don't let your Yetzirah think, I'm on the straight and narrow, I've got Emunah. Once in a while, what's the big deal? I sit and I hang out on street corners doing sort of very sort of negative things. And to mock and to scoff and to whatever it may be. You say to yourself, I'm not doing anything negative per se. I'm not doing any averis that I've got to bring a carbon oshem, a carbon chatas. Albany, no, my son. Hishama miplehem pentilochet berishtam. Be very careful that you shouldn't get caught up in that net. Rabim shosu mitoich kach kois tarulosom. Many drank from this cup of poison. Va'ato es nafshecho tatzil. But you've got to save your own soul. Then just finishing the last paragraph. Va'achar dait chaze al yikshe alecho. And don't hold back from thinking miata riba hamitzvahs b'inyan zechiras nisei mitzrayim shein omud godol b'teroseinu ki b'rabbis asokeinu mehem nispoil l'adov k'mesh amarnu, etc., etc. So you see a very, very interesting chinuch. It's probably the most famous chinuch of the whole 613. Ki odom nifal kafi p'uloysov. That a person becomes how his behavior is. So therefore, behaving in a regal, dignified manner, that makes us dignified. You know, the whole argument of uniform, of wearing smart clothes, dress down Friday, all that sort of stuff, this is really what this is about. If you dress smart, you act smart. You dress like a shlach, you act like a shlach. That's really what it's saying. And I think it's a very powerful idea. The Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, the well-known Rav and author, he tells a story of when he was in the Philadelphia yeshiva. This is going back 50 years or so. And what happened one time in the yeshiva, there was a fire alarm went off. Right? It happens from time to time. You know, in schools, we had it a few weeks ago. We were in the middle of a Kodesh inspection. Sure enough, the fire alarm went off. Anyway, that's such is life. So anyway, 50 years ago in the Philadelphia yeshiva, the fire alarm went off. And everyone have to go, you know what it's like. You go out to the playground and you line up and do register, etc. When the Rebbe came back to his office, the test that he was going to give the boys the next morning had disappeared. And one of the boys obviously thought this is his big opportunity, and he took the test he was going to get the next day. Now, Reb Elias Svei Zatzal was the Rosh Shiva of Philadelphia, him and Rav Mechaim Chaim and Shmuel Kamenetsky. And Reb Elias Svei never spoke to the high school students, apart from this time. And he was so upset about it. He spoke to the entire school assembly, and he basically went through the chinuch I just went through. He went through, and he basically said that if a person thinks that he can make a small lie, he can mention one small problem, then I'll just lie when it comes to tests. I'll just cheat when it comes to tests, or I'll just cheat when it comes to taxes. or I'll cheat when it comes to this particular insurance claim, or whatever it may be, your whole life will become one bag of a bag full of deceit, because you can't compartmentalize it. You'll just lie as lie because they lie, and that's the, you know, that's how it is. And if you condition yourself, then you are going to become a liar, because Adam Nifal Kafi Poloysov. That's exactly the point. He tells the story of Reb Henoch Leibowitz. Reb Henoch Leibowitz was the Rosh Shiva of Chofetz Chaim, son of Reb David Leibowitz. And Reb Henoch Leibowitz used to say that he had a smell test, which basically said that if something doesn't smell right, keep away. Yeah, you can shmek if this doesn't feel appropriate. So he told it. Mordechai Kamenetsky told the story of someone called David Patterson. David Patterson was the New York governor, and in 2009 he called Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim and he asked to speak to Reb Henoch Leibowitz. So he's told that sadly the Reb Henoch Leibowitz passed away a year ago. So he was very upset. He was, you know, he offered his condolences to the families of the yeshiva. So the secretary of the yeshiva said, "Why did you want to speak to him?" So he said, "Because I've got a question about a certain bill which is going to be passed. I'm not sure about the ethics of this bill. And I know that Reb Leibowitz is the most ethical person I know." So the secretary said, "Well, how do you know him? Where do you know this from?" So he said something astonishing. He said that in the 1980s, this David Patterson, who 30 years earlier was a clerk in the New York State government, the New York State government offered a grant for installation of high efficiency fixtures in schools, light fixtures in schools, and Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim were entitled to it. So they made an application for it, and it was granted. And a check came to Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim in the 1980s for $75,000 to pay for this high efficiency lighting. They got it fitted, the whole yeshiva was fitted out with it, and the actual bill came to $60,000. So Reb Henoch Leibowitz called the State Department and said, "You've given us $75,000, it came to $60,000, where do I return this $15,000? So the clerk was not used to that sort of question. The accounts department said they didn't have a mechanism to take back the money. So the clerk said, "Look, just keep it. Yeah, we gave you the $75,000. There's no mechanism to actually take it back. There's no files for this. There's no... Just keep the money." So Henoch Leibowitz said, "I'm not keeping the money. This was given to me to buy the lighting. We applied for it. It cost $60,000. I'm not taking any more. So I'm writing you a check for $50,000 and you'll figure it out." So David Patterson happened to be the clerk back in the 1980s who dealt with this situation. 30 years later, in 2009, he was now then the governor of New York, and he wanted to speak to Henoch Leibowitz 30 years later because he remembered this is the most ethical man he's ever met. So that's your smell test. If you behave, once you decide that it's okay to cut corners here or cut corners there, that will make you a person who cuts corners. And small lies become bigger lies, and then your whole life becomes one deceit. You know, Mordechai Kamenetsky tells a story. There isn't time. Mitzvah Hashem, another time. We'll be zocher. Lots of stories. But the third thing we'll leave. Mitzvah Hashem, another year, we'll talk about it. But I think two very important ideas. Number one, exposure. Exposure to things. It's a mixed bag. On one hand, exposure to dangerous things, you know, could be a deterrent. But on the other hand, sometimes it makes the unthinkable thinkable. And that's exactly the point. And therefore, when Moshe and Aaron stand up to Paro and they speak very harshly to him, and they say to him, "Admosa me'anta la'anos, when are you going to humble yourself enough already?" Suddenly the Avodim start speaking up because they see that someone can challenge their everything. And then the second idea, the Korban Pesach and the princely behavior, that famous idea of the Chinuch, Adam Nifal Kafik Pu'loysov, that a person is very much drawn by the way he behaves. And therefore, we're instructed not to break the bones of the Korban Pesach, because that will make us into sort of impoverished, ravenous type of people. But dignified, B'nai Melachim, behave in a dignified way, and they eat in a sort of a princely way, and that is sort of embedded in the very DNA of the Jewish people at the very onset, and we have a yearly reminder of that, and hopefully of all our behavior, to make sure that we live up to this dignified way of behaving.
What's the story of the Shasman with $5 million?
You've You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.